want you to notice, first of all, the time that Samuel took. The time that Samuel took. Samuel took time in obedience to what Eli said, to wait upon the Lord. You see, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And here's Samuel in the darkness, and he's waiting, he's listening. His ear is now tuned in, and he's taken time to listen to the Lord. And you know, one of the great dangers of the Christian life is that so often we fail to take time out to listen to the Lord. We're so occupied with other things, and sometimes you would think we were human doings instead of human beings. And we're like Martha. We're cumbered about with much serving, and we lose sight of the priority. You remember, in contrast to Martha, that we read that Mary chose that good part and sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Oh, the time that Samuel took. Samuel took time to listen to the Lord. There's an old preacher. Whenever he was preaching at the Cassock Convention in England in its early days, when he was preaching, he would stop and he would lift up his finger and he would say to the congregation, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" And how important it is that you and I listen to the Lord. The hymn writer says, "Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord." You know, I was just thinking the other day, it's remarkable, isn't it? In this age in which we live, we've made so many advances, and we've every device under the sun to enable us to save time. And the reality is, we haven't time to bless ourselves. You know, I was watching someone not so long ago, and they had an automatic toothbrush. Never saw the like of it in my life. And there they were, and were busy with this automatic toothbrush. I wouldn't get one of them. It slipped, it would polish your kidneys or something. You wouldn't know where it would end up. But, you know, there they were with an automatic toothbrush. Now, if you've got one, I apologize. But isn't it amazing? And yet with everything, even automatic toothbrushes, automatic washing machines, automatic this, that, and the other thing, and yet when it comes to time, we have so little time for ourselves, for our families, for the Lord, for the work of God. Oh, learn to be like Samuel. The time that Samuel took time to listen to the Lord. But then I want you to see not only the time that he took, but notice the prayer that he prayed. Very simple prayer. Very short prayer, but a very successful prayer. And he simply says to the Lord in childlike language, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Speak, for thy servant heareth. Now, I want you to learn this lesson, and it's a good lesson. Prayers don't have to be long to be successful. As a matter of fact, our Lord warned us in public against long prayers. And the rule should be in public pray, short, and in private, pray long. Not a good rule. And I've known people come into a prayer meeting and have killed it stone dead just by going on and on and on. Remember a fellow one night in a prayer meeting, and he was monopolizing the prayer meeting, killing it stone dead. He says, "Lord, I don't know now just what to say." And the fellow at the back said, "Say amen, son, and sit down." Just right out. Tell you, those were the days. Oh, Samuel here. We find the prayer that he prayed. You know, the first time I ever prayed it, and that's going way back to 1959, and I can still remember the short prayer that I prayed in the Emmanuel Mission Hall, and it was simply this: "Lord, save my brothers. That was the first prayer. And I'm still praying that prayer today for some of my brothers who are not saved. And don't you be afraid of the sound of your voice. Don't you be afraid that you'll not be able to make a long prayer. You just get one petition, one short prayer. Lord bless the pastor. Lord bless the elders. Lord bless the committee men. Lord bless the youth work, the children's meeting. Just a petition. And you lay it before the Lord. Now, someone has said that the Christian life is made up of four talks, and this is very important. You see, when I pray, I talk to the Lord. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to the Lord. And that's the first evidence of grace in the heart. Do you remember the Lord, by way of proof to Ananias, he said to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth, Saul, behold, he prayeth." It was that cry of Abba Father, of relationship within the heart of Saul, who had become Paul the Apostle. And we need to take time to pray, to talk to the Lord. We often sing, "Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege for to carry everything to God in prayer." But do we do it? Do you talk to the Lord? Do you speak to the Lord? You can do it while you're washing the dishes, making the bed, driving the car, walking up into the hospital to do a call. Just lift up your heart and say, "Lord, just be with us and guide us. Give us the right word to say," and whatever it is, commit it to the Lord. We need to learn to talk to the Lord. That's prayer. And then when I talk to others, that's witnessing. How important that is that you and I talk to others and be a witness. Now, we're not all called to be preachers, but we're all called to be witnesses. And Christ said to his disciples, and indeed to the whole body of Christ, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And you know, a witness is someone who just tells what they know. You just relate the facts as you know them. I was away down one day, nearly forget the name of the place, but we went away down for a drive and away down in the coast area. And I went in to buy three pokes, one for the wife and one for me. You thought I was going to say two for me. But there was one for the wife, one for me, and one for Heather, who was just a wee child at the time. And I came out holding the three pokes, and there was a line of traffic. And there was a girl waiting to turn in right. And I watched this fella, big flashy car, and he came up on the outside, thought he would juke the queue, and he came up on the outside, and the girl was just turning in, right in there. And boy, he jumped out of the car, and what abuse he give this wee lassie. A real cheeky, I'm going to say a cheeky Arab, but you shouldn't say that in the meeting. But a real cheeky boy. And I went over to the wee girl afterwards, and after the shouting in the barge, and I just watched what was going on, and out pokes were near melted. And over to the wee girl, and I said, "I saw what happened. That was that fella's fault. And if you need a witness, here's my card. I'll gladly be a witness for you." And I forgot all about it. Got all about it. Then one day I had a letter from a solicitor thanking me that I'd offered to be a witness and could have drawn a diagram and all and filled in this big form. So I give it to the wife and say, "Do your best with that." And she filled it all in and I signed it. Some weeks later, I got a lovely thank you letter. And the girl had put in a letter that the letter that you had sent and the fact that you were willing to be a witness helped her to win her case. All I did was tell the facts. Didn't make up anything. Didn't add to it. Didn't take away from it. Just told it as it was. The folly up to that was this. She put on the letter, "P.S. My father owns a pub down there. And if you're ever passing, call in for a free drink." Took a rain check on that once. It's a drink I'll never get. But what am I saying is this. Just as you would give evidence in a court to a Christian in this old world is to give evidence to be a witness for Christ. And that's a privilege to be able to talk to others about the Saviour. I was coming through the Royal Hospital one night and down one of the wards, and a lovely old woman was sitting there up in the chair, and lovely grey hair, actually it was white hair, lovely looking old woman, and I had a dog collar on and I was passing, and she says to me, "Hello, Father." And I says, "Hello, dear, how are you? You haven't been too well." She says, "No," she says, "I've been in here for a while and things haven't been too good." And I said to her, "Do you mind if I share something with you, tell you something?" She says, "Not at all, Father." And I turned her to John 3:16. And I told her the wonderful story of God's love. That God loved her so much that he gave his son to die on the cross that she could have eternal life. That's just being a witness. Just telling others about the Lord. And so when I pray, I talk to the Lord. When I talk to others, that's witnessing. Then when I talk to Christ or to Christians, that's fellowship. That's the next talk. You need to learn to talk to other Christians. That's why the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." And you can be enriched and be encouraged and be enlightened and be blessed through what other Christians have to say. You know, the Bible says, "They that fear the Lord speak often one to another." And if you love the Lord, then you love his children. And if you love the Lord and you love his children, you'll want to talk about the Lord. What do you talk about when you come into church tonight and you sat down? What was the first thing you talked about? Did you talk about the Lord? I've seen so many Christians, and all they do is talk about each other. Talk about different things. Talk about politics. They can talk about everything. And they don't speak to each other about the Lord. It's lovely when you meet a believer and they want to talk to you about the Lord and the things of God and bless your soul. But you come down to churches sometimes and they're not speaking. And the Emmanuel Mission, I've referred to it, where I was saved one Sunday morning after the communion service. Remember old Pastor Proctor, and he turned to a lady and he had the bread on the plate. And he said to this lady, "Would you mind giving that to Mrs. So-and-so to dispose for me, please?" And this is coming away from the Lord's table. And she looked at Pastor Proctor and she says, "Pastor, you better do it yourself. We are not speaking." Well, I want to tell you this. If you're not speaking to another brother and sister, don't be sitting at the Lord's table. Get it put right. Because you're only eating and drinking judgment upon your soul and your life. How important it is to learn to talk to other believers and to be blessed of the Lord. And then the final talk here is, when I read my Bible, God talks to me. This is what Samuel is doing. He didn't have a Bible, but God spoke in a focal way, in a personal way. And God spoke to his heart in this chapter, revealed his will for his life. But you know, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I say this sincerely tonight. Would God we as Christians would follow God's instructions. Especially young people starting out in life. You know, the biggest decision that you could make next to getting saved is choosing your life's partner who you're going to marry. And I'm sad to tell you, I've known people to make shipwreck at this vital decision. Remember a girl coming to me one time in Mount Marion, and I knew what was going to happen, and said, "Mr. Barnes, you know, I want to arrange a day to get married." And I had to speak to her and I said, "Well, you know, don't you, that your boyfriend's not saved and you're a Christian." And I can remember the tears coming down her cheeks. Brought up in the Sunday school, in the same classes as my wife, and then to be told by her chum's husband, the minister of the church, "I'm sorry, I can't marry you. This marriage is not of the Lord." Tears. Met her a few years later, and there was other tears. But there were different kind of tears. There were tears of regret. And she realized she had made the biggest mistake in her life. Because if you marry a child of the devil, then you'll have always trouble with your old father-in-law, the devil. Don't you think you can disobey God's word and you'll be the exception? It'll all work out. It doesn't work that way. And so often young people fail to consult the Lord in this great decision of life. And there's nothing wrong with falling in love. There's nothing wrong with meeting a girl. That's a natural desire and fulfillment. It's part of God's plan for our lives in many cases. But oh, when you choose the wrong partner, it'll lead to downfall every time. And so the prayer that he prayed, "Speak, Lord, I want to hear your voice." And if you remember those four talks and you seek to live by them every day, I tell you this, you'll never backslide as a child of God. But notice quickly here the attitude that he adopted. For he comes to the Lord and he says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Speak, for thy servant heareth. And he takes the position, the lowly place of a servant. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And here Samuel comes before the Lord. He places himself at the Lord's disposal. And he's saying to the Lord, "You speak, Lord, I'm your servant. And whatever you say, Lord, I'm prepared to do. I'm prepared to obey your voice." And that's very, very important. Sometimes we have difficulties in understanding what the will of God is. And we forget that there's a procedure in the Word of God. Turn over to Romans just for a moment, chapter 12. Maybe this will help us. Romans chapter 12. These are a couple of verses every young Christian should memorize and have them underlined in their Bible. And here's Paul writing to the church, and he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." And so you hear you have the believer, and he's to take the position like Samuel of a servant. He's to present his body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That means don't be molded by the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And before you can come to God and seek His will, you've got to take the place of servanthood, to be a servant. Do you remember that's what happened to Paul when he got converted? And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And he yielded his all to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And then we learn from God's word how that Paul was a chosen vessel, just like Samuel. And he went on to be a giant for God. And if you read the concluding verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, what a climax, because Samuel goes on from strength to strength. And we read in God's word concerning Samuel, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." God had great things for Samuel. Why? Because he put God first. The Bible says, "Seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. But in all thy ways acknowledge him." Listen. "And he shall direct thy paths." And sometimes we say that great doors swing on little hinges, and so they do. I often wondered what would have happened if Samuel had failed to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth. But that little prayer opened the door to a life of usefulness that left its mark for God. Speak, for thy servant heareth. May the Lord just bless those thoughts to our hearts tonight from his precious word. But as to remind you that our brother, Mr. Jim Lockhead, is in hospital and is getting a scan today, and pray that the Lord will be with him and that the Lord will lay his good hand upon him at this time. Do remember also the minister of the church, Mrs. Paisley, and as well, and on holidays, and remember the special week of meetings down in Enniskillen. Pray for the Lord's blessing there, and then for Hiley. And next week, pray that the Lord will pour out his spirit and that there'll be a season of refreshing.